This program is proudly brought to you by Alan Gray, building long-term wealth for our clients since 1973.
And welcoming you again, dear listeners. If you just obviously heard me a little bit earlier, yes, don't worry. This is your every Wednesday edition, specifically your every Wednesday episode in partnership with Alan Gray Namibia here on the Business and Economics segment on your number one talk radio station of Eagle FM. And as we've been doing for the past 5 weeks, hey, I'm keeping a good count so far. In terms of the past 5 weeks, this is obviously week six. This is your sixth episode in terms of the business and economics segment in partnership with Alan Gray Namibia. And once again, we've got a in-studio guest specifically for this evening, because it's obviously, well, I can't say evening. Can we consider it an evening, Gavin?
Late afternoon.
It was a good one. But once again, welcoming you, Gavin.
Thank you very much
for taking the time, man.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thanks.
Gavin, obviously, just to remind the listeners, last week we began this. This is one of the two episodes where we are touching on the Alan Gray Orbis Foundation. You gave a lot of details last week as well, obviously, which was sort of like the introduction to today as well. But when we just sort of like highlight some of the particular recapping aspects in terms of who the Alan Gray Orbis Foundation is, you know, and, you know, just in terms of the starting point. We did mention when it began in Namibia, but obviously there's obviously, you know, particular developments, even including Mr. Alan Gray's particular, can we say insights, or should we say vision looking outwards?
Vision, yes.
Yeah, vision looking outwards, because it's something that impacts externally. Yeah, so from that, just for us to highlight.
Yeah, no, spot on. I mean, our vision has always been to develop a pipeline of responsible, high-impact entrepreneurs who are dedicated to shaping a prosperous and equitable Namibia. And our mission is really to identify and to nurture those individuals who have the potential to lead change in their communities, as it were, and thereby contributing to long-term economic growth and development. And so that's really the focus of the foundation, which was started, like you said, back in 2009. And the vision of Alan really, you know, encapsulated in education and entrepreneurship in combination.
And that it's actually a good point, because we highlighted, you know, the specific talking points in last week. We also take cognizance, dear listeners, that for those of you that wanted to participate last week, don't worry, I didn't impose a participation Ramadan. You can still come through. Just obviously during the course of today's program, come through at 083-288-401. Alternatively, you can drop us a text message on the SMS line at 1040, wherein I can also read your particular questions. As long as you keep it in English, guys, please, man. I'm limited specifically in all other Namibian languages. So let's try and keep it in English. Getting back to the small introduction that we've had, just touching back on what we did last week and discussed and covered. If we have to look at some key factors, you know, what could these key factors be that obviously inspired the creation of the foundation, particularly in the context of Namibia and Southern Africa? There was one important thing that you stressed last week, because I got it a little bit confused in terms of when people have to look at Namibia, not to confuse it with the foundation also in South Africa.
Correct.
Because from Namibia, it ultimately also branches onto the rest of Africa. Should I say rest of Africa? Because
global, actually.
Global, yes. Yes. Yeah. Because you pointed there's a East African component and also other particular spots. But yeah, just in that nutshell.
100%. So like you said, you know, our foundation in Namibia forms part of the global ecosystem. So that's Africa, the Americas, Europe, and also Australia. But in particular to Namibia, the foundation was born out of a deep-seated belief that the key to sustainable economic growth, in Namibia, lies in the cultivation of entrepreneurship. And then, we sort of assessed that the lack of access to quality education and entrepreneurial support was a barrier for many talented individuals. So we wanted to address this gap by providing the resources and mentorship necessary to unlock this potential.
Yeah, and obviously it was also one of the sort of like the cornerstone. It was actually one of the cornerstone points that we had last week.
Correct.
Yeah, the mentorship aspect that takes place and the likes.
Yeah.
I had to ask the particular question. You noted, you know, what did it manifest like? Because you noted specifically there were, you know, many Namibians that came back, even though they are at other institutions. I don't want to use the word competition, but yes. Other institutions in that regard, you know, the impact has still been pretty significant. Just highlighting that. But the aspect in terms of the approach from the foundation, how does the foundation, the foundation's approach to entrepreneurship or entrepreneurial education or entrepreneurship education differ from other similar initiatives? Because it's a good thing you mentioned about, you know, quality education, which is also one of the significant talking points in Namibia.
Yeah.
So how does it position itself in that talking point?
So the foundation's approach is holistic. We don't just focus on business acumen, but also on developing the individual as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
We place a strong emphasis on character development, ethical leadership, and a commitment to social responsibility. And this blend of academic rigor, personal growth, and practical sort of experience is what I think sets the foundation apart and is really the value proposition for us that we offer to the candidates that successfully land an opportunity to join our programs.
One of the nice things that you highlighted last week was a aspect in terms of the participation for the candidates. But I won't get into that as well, but because just for the listener that's tuning in today,
obviously, there
were a lot of details that Gavin did share last week, specifically in the talk about, you know, how the foundation goes through the process, the selection process and the likes. If we've got to get into that, because this is now the next sort of like important talking point, what criteria would the foundation sort of like use to select the fellows? Because this obviously is a fellowship discussion.
Yeah.
And how have these, you know, have these evolved specifically over the years? And this is now, is it safe to say from 2009?
Correct.
Or was it the notion in terms of, let's see how it actually does naturally develop, like highlighted in the question.
Yeah, so basically from 2009, Dwight, if we have to look at how we select the individuals for the fellowship in particular, we select the individuals based on a combination of academic excellence, leadership potential, and entrepreneurial mindset, and a demonstrated commitment to giving back to their community. So over the years, we've sort of refined our selection process to include more nuanced assessments, ensuring that we identify those who not only have potential, but also align with our values of integrity and responsibility.
And that has been some of the most important things, because primarily our talk last week, you indicated the group work thing.
Yes.
Obviously, how do we see group work still in this discussion? And I know it's slightly sort of like a small branch out, Gavin, but how do we look at it, group work? Because obviously it has to start from secondary school, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So if you look at the particular candidates that we select for the fellowship at the moment, it's AS level students that basically go on to an entrepreneurship camp and they go through a host of tests and skills assessments, right? Mm. And part and parcel of those tests include individual work, but also group work.
Mm.
And it's through the group work that you assess, you know, leadership potential and things like that,
yeah.
Where it's not just about the best fit in terms of answers and responses for the individual, but you actually check whether they consider it to the rest of the team members as well. So it already, you know, it's an aspect that we focus on in selection already.
Yeah.
And then it goes into the fellowship. So remember I shared over the 4 years when they're at their partner universities, there's effectively a leadership curriculum that they need to follow over the 4 years.
That runs parallel to it. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. That then builds on the base that they start off with the idea that they refine those skills and improve it over time. Mm-hmm. So when they do graduate, you know, that particular skill level is at the level that we'd like them to see and then hopefully become, you know, well-respected individuals in their workplaces. Yeah.
And the next particular aspect that we've got to look at, Gavin, is, you know, how does the foundation ensure that its programs remain relevant and still impactful, specifically in the rapidly changing economic and social landscape of Namibia? It's a good thing, you know, that we have to touch on this because the talk just before you and I had to exit back into or enter back into the studio was also about, you know, e-learning, and at one stage also how technology plays a part in terms of the future of education. So yeah, how does this, you know, factor into this? Not the technology, not the e-learning side, but ultimately, you know, the programs that the foundation, you know, offers. Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, we ensure that the program remains relevant by maintaining a strong feedback loop with our fellows. So our fellows as individuals that effectively went through the program. And we continually engage with industry experts to adapt our curriculum. We're also deeply embedded in local communities, which helps us stay attuned to emerging challenges and opportunities. And this allows us to be agile and responsive, you know, and thereby ensuring that our programs are always aligned with the current and the future needs of our country.
Mm. And obviously, dear listeners, if you've you know, still wanted to understand and look in terms of some of the insights, the aspect or the opportunity is still there during the course of the program to give us a, you know, you can contribute, you can have a discussion, ask a question. We have to keep it short because ultimately we obviously still have a lot to go through with Gavin in terms of just looking at some of the talking points coming through regarding the foundation as well as also the fellowship talking point. There is one specific thing, and this is now just still touching and branching and or literally bridging between what we discussed last week and this week as well, Gavin. Mm. When we're obviously looking at, you know, the aspect of, you know, from an education perspective, it is an important, should we say, cornerstone or foundation for every potential fellow. Because obviously they're not going to be a fellow as yet. They still have to go through the selection process.
Correct, yeah.
So that is one of the strongest points. You did reference last week that education is the cornerstone, obviously, for all this. Looking at the particular notion in terms of, you know, the discussion for our fellowship, I used our, but yeah,
it is ours.
It is in light of the talk, obviously. It is obviously important that education is that sector that carries it through. If you can just sort of like, in a nutshell, before the ad break sort of like jumps on us, how critical education plays a role in this, and then just, you know, sensitize to the listeners why it is important from this aspect.
Yeah. Look, so we firmly believe that, you know, the skill of education can be refined, right? Mm. And so we've already identified the lack of resources and opportunities. And so what we're saying, if you're able to teach someone how to fish, they'll never go hungry again, right? And so from that premise, we've sort of built all of our programs to be sort of embedded in education. So initially, when the foundation started back in 2009, we had what we called the scholarship program, which was, you know, we selected highly talented grade sixes and placed them at very good, you know, from rural areas in particular, right? Mm. And we've had more than 50 of those beneficiaries come through. We placed them at better quality schools in Windhoek. Mm. That has then evolved into this fellowship, which we now have. And I'm also glad to share that there was an online game that we launched this year for the first time, which is also embedded in education. So you can see there's almost an interwoven theme of education in all our programs. And so what we're saying is that Mr. Alan Gray himself, as a successful businessman, was an academic as well. Mm. And so coming from that notion of, you know, having a solid foundation, what is that? And we believe that to be education.
Mm.
And once you have that solid foundation, you're saying that the business skills and the entrepreneurship skill, sort of growth that you'll see in your lifetime is a function of how well that base was set.
Yeah.
And so from that notion, we've really developed and constructed our programs and then, you know, sort of rolled it out in the local context.
And then it just takes the candidate all the way through from there. Yeah.
All the way through, yeah.
So there you have it, dear listeners. We're quickly going to take a short break. We're going to be back right after this. This is the Business and Economics segment in partnership with Alan Gray Namibia. On this evening's episode of Episode 6, we've got Mr. Gavin Frey from the Alan Gray Orbis Foundation, specifically here in Namibia. And we'll be back right after the short break. Stay tuned. Let's see each other again.
Time. When you're a kid, it moves slower than a sloth trying to get through airport security. There is just so much of it. Skip forward a few years to your 20s. Time is still your friend. It says have some balance. go party and have fun. Then your 30s hit, and time suddenly steps on the accelerator like it's trying to catch a traffic light before it goes red. 40s. Now time is moving faster than your 10-year-old on a sugar high. 50. You're desperately trying to save as much as you can, but time is moving so fast. And all you can think is, where did all the time go? That's why after 50 years of investing, we've learned that time is the greatest gift of all. And the good news is, if you invest early, time gives you money. And then money gives you more time for some much-deserved you time. Now, isn't that a compelling enough reason to invest? Ellen Gray, long-term investing. Ellen Gray is an authorized FSP.
Now, just getting back, dear listeners, and coming back here on the business and economics segment here on your number one talk radio station. Do remember, this is your Wednesday editions, which is in partnership with Ellen Gray Namibia. And just before the break, if you are just switching on right now, and obviously we do take cognizance that you might be driving. I mean, the sun is still out. And as my in-studio guest, Gavin, indicated, it's late afternoon. So do remember, guys, you still might be doing your shopping. But obviously, you're tuning in to your number one talk radio station here being Eagle FM in partnership with Ellen Gray for this Wednesday evening. Gavin, if we get back, obviously, we're getting into the next chapter for our talk for tonight. This is about the programs and initiatives that the foundation obviously has engaged in so far, even though the broader program is the 2009, you know, the operation of the foundation itself. If we've got to look at, you know, just getting a little bit more specific, you know, elaborating on like the different programs that have been in existence, the initiatives as well that the foundation offers, specifically in Namibia, you know, what could a potential candidate, because this is now also for the candidate that wants to see, you know, there's a pathway, there's a development pathway for them to follow. What would they be looking at?
Yeah, I always joke and say, you know, if you're a successful candidate that comes through our selection process, all that you need to do really is to show up.
Yeah.
All the rest will be taken care of by the foundation. So the fellowship is comprehensive in the sense that it includes financial support. Mm-hmm. So we would effectively pay for tuition, accommodation, book fees. We get you to university and back. Mm-hmm. And like we said, I think the distinguishing factor is the mentoring and the access to the robust entrepreneurial ecosystem. And so people might probably wonder, you know, what that means for someone that's at university. We have an annual get together that we call the Jamboree. Mm. So Jamboree is an opportunity for university students that have ideas to basically refine those ideas and to play around with the idea. You have an opportunity to showcase that at this Jamboree and also an opportunity to win money that will serve as an equity investment already whilst you're at varsity. Mm. So that is what we're trying to encourage from as young as, you know, we get them in. Yeah. So fresh out of AS levels, straight into university, we give you that fully fledged package of support and all that you must do. Like I said in the beginning, you must just show up. Yes,
but it even resonates like in the education, you know, component that you highlighted just before the ad break. Basically, education has to be that base. It's the foundation that it builds from, and it's pivotal because, well, broader speaking, in Namibia, we've obviously got the, you know, everyone is saying stick to education. Make it solid. But it's a good thing you're highlighting the Jamboree. But could you explain what is a Jamboree? I've never seen a Jamboree.
Yeah. So a Jamboree is really a get-together of all of the candidate fellows. Mm. So a candidate fellow is someone that has managed to get successfully to land a fellowship. Mm. And there's about 470 of them at the moment coming across all across Southern Africa. Mm. So it's Namibia, Botswana, Eswatini, South Africa. You'll find all of these students either in their first up to their fourth year at university.
Yeah.
So they'll get together at a location, at a venue, and it's really a clubbing together of these individuals to showcase the ideas that they've come up with. Mm. So really to showcase on a very practical level to, let's say, someone that has joined for the first year, to say that the idea that you're toying with, you should refine that. You should take it further, because what we've also find is that on the personal development side of things, many a times, and I think maybe also even speaking to you, we've got this idea, right? But because we don't have the personal belief in the success of that idea, it almost dies a slow and a silent death on the side. And so what the Jamboree tries to do is really a get together to create the platform for these candidate fellows or the
university
students.
Is it almost
students.
Like the mentoring that you were mentioning just before the break? Yeah.
Look, so the mentoring is more formal. So that's part of the annual curriculum, but this is an event.
Yeah.
It's an event that takes place over 2 days.
Yeah.
And like I said, you know, the idea is to practically showcase what they've learned through this formal curriculum in entrepreneurship. And so they've got business pitches that they do as part of the competition.
Not like Dragon's Den where people are ending up with tears.
Exactly. But it takes that format. So you're spot on, Dwight.
Yeah.
You then get to pitch your idea and there's a panel of judges. They ask you questions and you know you need to respond. And to the extent that you're successful, there's money up for grabs. We're talking in the region of $1.5 million Namibian dollars amongst the group. And, you know, imagine as a first year university student, you get $100K to invest in your side hustle. I think that's quite liberating. And that's the idea. You know, we give them that money and also the freedom to invest it into the idea and then to sort of further develop that with the intention, you know, that once they graduate from university, that base has been set. So if they would further like to refine the idea, the foundation would also be able to fund them the seed capital required for them to register and start the business and to also grow and scale the business over time.
And that actually, you know, if something like that existed when I was in Stark University in 2003, that would have been awesome.
Yes.
It would have been. Now, Gavin, I don't want to get carried away with my own particular, you know, sort of like memories and the likes. When we take a look specifically, like, you know, at the next particular aspect we've got to focus on, this is now whether you can discuss like the mentorship component. Remember, you indicated it's formal. It forms part of the 4-year particular program. If we take a look at that mentorship component of regarding the foundation's program, and as well as also how critical is mentorship in development? Because you just stressed now to me that divorce the Jamboree and the get together, which has the networking component to it, and ultimately also idea sharing that
Correct.
Will obviously be there. But the mentorship, which is now formal, forms part of the overall course of educational development for the candidate. This now in itself is structured. So what would a candidate, if there is now a 19-year-old listening to us right now, what would they be looking at?
Yes. So mentorship is a cornerstone of our program. We connect all of our candidate fellows with seasoned entrepreneurs and industry leaders who basically provide guidance and support and network. So each individual gets a coach that's effectively allocated to you that looks after you over 4 years and grows with you. And this mentorship accelerates your learning. It helps to avoid common pitfalls and provides a sounding board for ideas, right?
Yeah.
It's critical because it bridges the gap between theoretical knowledge and real-world application, which is essential for entrepreneurial success.
And that ultimately also has us asking the next question. What role does the foundation play in the broader ecosystem of entrepreneurship, specifically in Namibia, and how does it collaborate with the other institutions? Because there was a nice sort of like small crumb that you dropped us last week where you said, you know, there were candidates from the foundation that came back to Namibia, but even though they went on to other particular engagements or other particular corporations, you know, what is that particular, can we call it that forms part of the ecosystem in its own right?
100%.
Yeah.
Look, so what we stand for is to develop not just the individuals, but to give back to the community. So giving back to the community means, you know, if they are able to land employment opportunities at any corporate or institution, they are free to do that. Remember, this is also not a bursary.
You stressed this last week.
Yeah, so the difference between a bursary and the fellowship being, for a bursary, there's either an amount of time that you need to work it back or an amount that you need to pay back. With a fellowship, it's different. You don't need to repay any dollar. And so wherever you find yourself in terms of a job opportunity that you're able to land successfully, you're able to take that up, right? We've had about 25 of those individuals graduate our program since inception. And if you look at our current intake, there's about 15 of those learners that are currently at university. And, you know, our plan is to grow that number over the next 5 to 10 years to about 100, right? So we'd like to see at least 100 of those individuals graduate in the short term, or well, medium to long term rather. But the foundation in itself really lends itself to play a catalytic role in the Namibian entrepreneurial ecosystem, right? So we collaborate not just with other corporates, you know, in the sense that I've just explained, but also with educational institutions.
Yeah, I was about to ask that.
Government, in particular, the Ministry of Education. And I think I must maybe elaborate more there. So this year, for the first time, we had what we call the Allen Gray High Schools Game. What's interesting about the High Schools Game is that the curriculum on which it's based is education, right? But with a focus on entrepreneurship. So what this meant was that all high school learners from grade 8 to AS levels, they had the opportunity to register and play a game. And so through playing the game, we instilled, or, you know, the skill set of entrepreneurial thinking. And so it's a fun and engaging way for us to bring across the skill set, right? And to also showcase that entrepreneurship in itself could also potentially be a career. So it was very important for us to partner with the Ministry of Education. We had a fantastic turnout. Because remember, Dwight, this game is played online, right? You only needed to have about 25 megabytes worth of data to download the game, to play it in its entirety. You could access the game on a laptop, a PC, a tablet,
smartphone.
So, you know, we've thought about the access issue, because if we consider Namibia and the connectivity issues, we know, you know, big nodes such as Windhoek, Swakop is normally fine, but the rural areas is where the struggle is. And what we found is that not only was the participation rate quite high,
we
had 1,425 learners participate over 3 months.
Is a high number.
We were pleasantly surprised. When we analyzed the data, we saw that we had learners from all 14 regions. So which showcases, you know, the impact that we've managed to make, even if it was, you know, through remote and an online sort of program. But the idea really for us to be catalytic in that sort of segment in the education space. And then, you know, our future, and we'll talk about that a little bit later, is also to support entrepreneurs in our country. So at the moment, the financial support is confined to the fellows that have actually gone through our program. And so because we know the individuals, you know, and also the types of businesses and the ideas that they have, our focus at the moment is to refine and to invest in those. But in the next 12 to 24 months, there's an exciting new program that we are busy planning, that we are launched locally, and that will be open to all of the entrepreneurs in the country. So I think that might be one question that's on the lips of many of the listeners. So we're talking entrepreneurship, but it's sort of focused, you know, on learners, high school, university. And now as part of the extension of the impact, we'd like to broaden that. And together with partners that we've already sort of identified, we'd like to make this thing big and take it to the market and invite all of the entrepreneurs. Ideally also, again, you know, a component of education. But I think the big gap at the moment in our market is access to funding and to provide that platform to actually give these individuals the money that they need as that will serve as working capital and or to grow and scale their businesses.
Now, just before we get into the short break, dear listeners, do remember that we're in the midway point heading into the second half. If you still have any callers' contributions coming through, do remember you can come through at 083-288-4001. Alternatively, there is the text or the SMS line at 1040. But we'll quickly be stepping into the short break, and we'll be back right after this here on your number one talk radio station. This is the Business and Economics segment in partnership with Alan Gray Namibia.
Imagine if you could save time like you save money. A second here, a minute there. Type a little faster, walk a little faster. Or you could stop scrolling on the internet. Just think of all the hours you'll save. Now what if you could take all that time and invest it? Watch it grow. Until eventually, one day, you'd have so much time that you wouldn't know what to do with it all. But unfortunately, time doesn't work like that. It can't be stored or banked. And unlike money, you can't make it back. That's why after 50 years of investing, we've learned that time is the greatest gift of all. And the good news is, if you invest early, time gives you money. And then money gives you more time to do whatever you want to do, even if it is scrolling on the internet. Alan Gray, long-term investing. Alan Gray is an authorized FSP.
And coming back to your listeners, I don't know if you heard the tagline at the end of the ad, even if you're scrolling it on the internet. As long as you're listening to the conversation that we've got here in studio between myself and Mr. Gavin Frey, who is from the Alan Gray Orbis Foundation. And just where we left off specifically had been some of the programs, the programs and initiatives that come through from the foundation. There was a lot actually also being shared, highlighting specifically how things... all candidates also need or will understand how entrepreneurship forms part of a broader ecosystem in a country. But there was one slight question I forgot to ask, Gavin, just before we went into the ad break, was how has the foundation's curriculum been designed to address the specific needs and the challenges that are faced by young entrepreneurs in Namibia? Because there was a good reference point that you made just before the break about, you know, the foundations in terms of that somehow the young entrepreneur can still look at being, you know, a cornerstone wherever they find themselves in the rest of the country. Mm-hmm. But this is now still in like the start in terms before that candidate gets that far. How does the curriculum primarily play a role in this discussion?
Yeah. So if we consider the online game, just starting with the high schools, the entrepreneurship skills and the education that they give them there is very general, right? You might find, and I think this was actually the beauty of the game, is that it was open to learners irrespective of which area of focus you're registered for. Because remember, in high school, you have students that are just in the humanities. So they might not, have business studies or entrepreneurship.
Or even a mathematics.
Aspect, exactly. Yeah. Or you'd find the ones that are just focused on science, whatever. But what we're saying is that even if you are into sciences and you study to become a medical doctor, you still have a practice one day, right? And still, and so by implication, you still need to have a grip on your finances. You still need to understand an income statement and balance sheet. So these are some of the key themes that we've built into this online game, and on a very general basis, we have brought across these themes. To evoke this general understanding of business and then, but also entrepreneurship, right? So entrepreneurship in the sense of the innovation and the like.
Yeah.
So the learners found themselves in the position of a CEO and they had to run a company. So when you run a company, remember you start on top with strategy. And once you have the strategy, you need to implement the strategy, right? Yeah. So you need to make pricing decisions, product decisions, and so forth. And so these are some of the themes that came through. And on a very, basic level, we've incorporated these elements into the online game. If you consider the curriculum for the university students, that is tailored in the African context, but also more specifically for the Namibian context, focusing on sectors with high growth potential, such as agriculture, renewable energy, technology, and now, you know, the new talk of the town is this oil and gas that's hopefully coming, and that's going to spread some good news. We also address common challenges such as access to finance, market entry strategies, and navigating regulatory environments. And additionally, our program incorporates real-world problem-solving experiences, allowing our fellows to apply their learning in a practical setting.
Yeah. Obviously, technology would be the basis of everything.
Yes, correct.
It would be a strongest assumption. when we look at the impact and the success stories, obviously, since 2009, you know, the question that we've got to ask is, what has been the most significant impact of the Alan Gray Orbis Foundation on entrepreneurship in a Namibian specific context? What does it look like?
Yeah. Dwight, you know, our impact assurance is something that we are acutely aware of, and also how we measure that, right? But one of our most significant impacts has been the creation of a new generation of entrepreneurs who are not only successful in business, but also committed to ethical leadership and social responsibility. Because remember, you know, if you look at the number of students that have gone through our program, those 25, they are now serving in various roles within industry. But the impact that they have has a ripple effect to it. So you cannot say that it's limited to only the individuals that come through, but those lives that they're also touching, right?
Yeah.
So there's a multiplier effect, as it were. And so where that individual work, that is where they also make a difference. What we are also saying is that these individuals are driving innovation. They are creating jobs and they're contributing to the economic diversification of Namibia. And so this ripple effect of their success is felt across the community, and it inspires others to pursue this entrepreneurial gift of theirs, and then ultimately the path.
If we look at sector, is it just specifically one sector, or is it like the candidates, like these particular 25 candidates?
No, so it's across various industries. Remember, if we take it one step back and you look at the types of programs that we fund at university, it's effectively open to all of the programs. So in the commerce, humanities, arts, etc., with an exclusion of the medical field. And the reason for that is that if you look at the duration and the length of study for medical field, it's more than 4 years.
Yeah.
So I'm unfortunately, or we at the foundation are unfortunately limited to 4 years. And also, if you want to become a doctor, that's unfortunately excluded, and also dentistry and veterinarian sciences. But all the rest, anything under the sun, if it's a program that's offered by one of our partner universities, then you know you're free to pursue that career.
When we also have to look at, you know, how does the foundation measure the success? Because you also indicated, you know, that the foundation is aware about, you know, specifically the impact that candidates have, and also the programs through the foundation. If we've got to look at how does the foundation measure the success in the fostering of entrepreneurship and leadership in Namibia, these are two very good things to actually look at, because they are, from my basics in the research methodology, they used to call it like qualitative.
Yes,
these are qualitative aspects, meaning you've got to convert them into a numerical thing to understand the measure. So how it's a good thing that you actually bring that we have this question.
Yeah.
How can, you know, people then see what the impact has been?
So we measure success through a combination of, like you said, quantitative and qualitative metrics, right? And so these include the number of businesses that we started, the jobs created, and the societal impact of these ventures. We also look at the personal and the professional growth of our fellows, so the individuals, right? Their contribution to the communities, and also their ongoing commitment to the values of the foundation. Regular impact assessments and alumni feedback are integral to this process. You know, it's amazing when I see our fellows stand on a platform such as a high school and bringing the good news to the students at a school that they've attended before. You know, that is one way measure the success of these individuals. Yeah. You know, it's a small thing, but so many of the candidates that eventually land a fellowship, the feedback that we get is that, you know, I was in the hall when Mr. X spoke on the day. It was truly inspirational. Mm. And that's what we're saying, right? If we can only impact that one person, that word of inspiration changes the trajectory of that person's life.
Yeah.
And, you know, hopefully for the better, right?
Yeah.
And then the foundation supports you all the way. And when you come back, you know, hopefully there's going to be a very good contribution that comes from that. So even in the what some people might consider, you know, small efforts, we do recognize that. Mm.
There's obviously also the good thing, because many people, you know, are not strong leaders naturally.
Yeah.
How would the leadership component be measured? Is it the same example that you leverage, like saying, you know, but one of the candidates obviously going back to the school that they had finished at or matriculated from, and then just sharing the same particular message in terms of the experience? Is it the same particular understanding as well?
Exactly. And I mean, so that was an example of, you know, a candidate or a fellow rather. Mm. So someone that's gone through the program that's giving back. But how we also assess the leadership component for the ones that went through, and to as a benchmark whether we were successful, is to assess whether those individuals actually go up the corporate ladder, as it were. So, I mean, an example is one of my fellows that studied actuarial science. Right, he now is in three years after university. At this big corporate in town, and he's managed to make it on to the junior exco. Mm. Now, that shows you that the leadership capabilities, not only does he have it, but others in the organization higher up from an executive level can already see that this talented individual has the potential to go straight to the top. And so those are some of the stepping stones to get you to the top. And so these are some of the matrices that we use to assess not just whether our candidates are successful, but whether our program is actually relevant and whether we're producing the right candidates for the job market.
Does it also include like the aspect of entrepreneurship? Because there's a second question of that as well. Or are we looking at the job creation, like you mentioned, the multiplier of the impact that the fellow comes back with?
100%. So we've set aside a pot of money that's available for those individuals. Mm. And so we are working with them to refine those ideas and to grow those businesses. What we'd ideally like to see is to grow their businesses to create employment, right? Because that's ultimately what we're trying to get at, and to solve the societal issues that emanates from that. But we'd also like those businesses to become competitive in the local marketplace, right? And we'd actually like to see those small businesses grow into enterprises.
Yeah.
So enterprises are big organizations with valuations of more than $1 million.
Namibian dollars.
Well, maybe even 1 billion Namibian dollars.
Okay, yeah. That's the sky's the limit. Yeah, yeah.
Yes, exactly. That's what we're aiming for. Mm. And so you're correct. We further work with those individuals to refine those ideas and to get them going. And to also fund those businesses to get to that enterprise value level, ultimately.
Yep. We'll quickly be stepping into another short break, dear listeners. That will ultimately lead us into the fourth quarter, or the last quarter of this evening's discussion. Do stay tuned. This is the Business and Economic segment in partnership with Alan Gray Namibia, here on your number one talk radio station. And this evening's discussion is episode 6, which is part 2 of talking to Mr. Gavin Frey from the Alan Gray Orbis Foundation here in Namibia. And we'll be back right after this short break.
There's a song that goes, "Money can't buy me love." And that's true. But then they told us, "All you need is love." Which anybody with a mortgage will tell you, most certainly is not true. Love won't pay your parking tickets or your student loan. It's also needy. It requires effort, availability, constant care. But more importantly, love requires time. And while money can't buy you love, it can certainly free up some of your time. Time to spend on the things you love with the people you love. And if you're looking, maybe even time to find the one you love. That's why, after 50 years of investing, we've learned that time is the greatest gift of all. And the good news is, if you invest early, time gives you money. And then money gives you more time to do the things you love. And don't you love that about investing? Ellen Gray, long-term investing. Ellen Gray is an authorized FSP.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Coming back, dear listeners, from the short extended break right there, and just where we left off specifically, if, 100% here on your everyday, every Wednesday evening, where we have the business and economics segment in partnership with Ellen Gray Namibia, and specifically on this evening's discussion is episode two, actually, of, well, part two of episodes, being episode six, of talking to Mr. Gavin Frey from the Ellen Gray Orbis Foundation here in Namibia, and talking about the impact specifically, and as well as also the role that the foundation has played in terms of providing, or actually generating, the entrepreneurs of tomorrow. Should we use that as a tagline,
yes,
Gavin? The entrepreneurs of tomorrow.
Yes.
It's actually a good one.
New generation of the new high impact entrepreneurs.
Yes, high impact. High, yes, is obviously the, what do they call that word in English? The emphasis,
yes,
or the word or the emphasis on that.
Yeah.
Our last segment or our last chapter for this evening, obviously we're taking a look at challenges and future outlook, because one of the underlying messaging that we always see in education today is that education doesn't stay the same. Obviously technology is one of the reasons for it. But just as an underlier, getting us into this last chapter, if we have to look at what challenges have or has the foundation faced in implementing its programs in Namibia specifically, and well as also how have these been addressed specifically? Because obviously, you know, nothing is just plain sailing or smooth sailing.
Yes.
So how does it manifest it, and what was the approach?
So one of the main challenges has been reaching young people in remote areas who have limited access to resources and opportunities. And so to address this, we've expanded our outreach efforts and incorporated technology to deliver parts of our program online.
Mm.
If you take it one step back, currently if AS level students, well, the application deadline has closed already. It was the 15th of July.
Mm.
We're
still hopeful it would have been August. But yeah.
They can have a look at the website and apply for next year for 2020, for the 2026 academic year. But there, you know, you can apply online. That's what we encourage. And, you know, it helps for the guys also in the remote areas. Additionally, we faced the challenge of maintaining long-term engagement with our fellows because, you know, once they're into the middle of the works, once they start employment, it's a little bit difficult. But we've tackled that by building a strong alumni network and offering ongoing support beyond the initial fellowship, as I've referred to earlier.
Yeah.
You know, just to keep the conversations going, the thinking going, and to expand on those business ideas to get them to the stage where we actually want to see them. Yeah.
And like you also highlighted, you know, obviously, this is not just isolated to Namibians in urban areas. It's also for rural Namibians because the impact is a double-edged sword because you want to see impact in both scenarios.
100%
in that regard. If we take a look at the next particular talking point, how has the economic and social environment in Namibia also influenced the foundation's strategy and operations over the years? Specifically, because even though we just highlighted now, technology is something that a lot of the candidates could face, but then this is still, you know, in terms of the realm of the foundation.
Yeah, so I mean, the economic challenges in Namibia, such as high youth unemployment and limited access to capital, have reinforced our commitment to entrepreneurship as a solution. We've adapted our strategy to focus more on sectors that can drive economic resilience, like technology, and how we've sort of embedded that, and you know what the focus on that is also on starting businesses, new business business ideas. On social issues like inequality and education, GAPS have also guided us to invest more in character education, right, and ethical leadership. As like I've said before, these are essential for sustainable development.
Kevin, can I ask you? The term ethical leadership, I've only heard about leadership,
yes,
you know, in terms of my own particular exposure. But what does it look like specifically? And in terms of if you can use almost like a like an explanation, like one of the fellows ultimately, yeah, as well. I know you remember using another fellow. I'm sorry for that fellow. Don't worry, your name was not mentioned. But ultimately, just what it manifests in.
Yeah. So ethical leadership is really about doing the right thing, and doing the right thing even when nobody is watching. And so what we see our fellows grow into are business leaders, right? And so once you have that level of seniority within your place of employment, there's a responsibility that you have towards, number one, the people that work for you, but also towards the organization. I mean, a simple thing such as to minimize wasteful expenditure speaks to you doing the right thing. So even if you have a mandate to perform a certain function, and given the circumstances, it might have a negative impact on the people that work for you. That is an ethical conundrum right there. So the question that our individuals would then face would exactly be that. So am I going to act in the interest of myself or in the best interest of my team, which is the people that I lead? And so that ethical conundrum, we hope that through our training, we would have exposed those individuals to some extent to make the right decision. And so going back to Alan Gray, I mean, when he started his business, he had the opportunity to invest in corporate and social responsibility. It wasn't necessary for him to do that, but because he felt it was right, the right thing to do, that is what sort of drove, you know, that particular desire and the need. And if we take it one step further, in 2016, remember in last week we said he donated his entire wealth to the philanthropy.
He and his wife,
exactly, to make a difference in the lives of others. So that core value of doing the right thing, and with the example that I've just given you, hopefully illustrates ethical leadership. So when you are in that position of power and influence to make the right decision, for all of the stakeholders that are involved and not just for you, for your own benefit, for your own gain.
When we also look at sort of like our last talking point for this evening, this also has the, you know, the aspect of looking ahead, because now, you know, I don't like, you know, asking my guests always to be the weatherman, weatherwoman, you know, having forecasts, but it ultimately also gives an indication to many people to see, you know, what does the road ahead look like? What are specifically like the foundation's particular goals, you know, looking ahead for the next, can we say, 5 to 10 years, especially in Namibia? And how do you envision the future of entrepreneurship in the region? And this is obviously sort of like, as can we say, it as like a regional, like in SADC view?
Spot on,
or is it like in terms of like between, you know, the various aspects in Namibia, for example?
Yeah. So in the next decade, we aim to deepen our impact by expanding our reach and enhancing the quality of our programs. We're focusing on scaling successful ventures. So remember, I said we're going to open that up to the rest of the entrepreneurs. So not just our own fellows, but also for the rest of the entrepreneurs within Namibia. Fostering regional collaboration. So exactly what you said. Remember, we currently operate in SADC, in Namibia, Botswana, Eswatini, and also South Africa. And so the idea is that we also you know, to the extent that we have some partnerships there,
yeah,
to bring those skill sets on board so that you can catalyze, let's say, maybe a local business that might need additional support or whatever.
Mm.
And also to build a stronger ecosystem that can support entrepreneurs from ideation to scaling.
Yeah.
I envision a future where entrepreneurship is a driving force for economic growth and social transformation in our country, with our fellows and the others leading the way in creating innovative solutions to the region's most pressing challenges. If I look at the online game, for example, our strategy there for the future is, at the moment, it was focused on high school learners. In the next year, we'd like to extend that to TVET colleges as well. Because remember, your plumbers, your electricians,
your mechanics.
Exactly. Yeah. So once they graduate, they start those small businesses. So there's an exciting development that we're working on the moment to refine that and to extend that that online game to TVET colleges, but also the financing component, right? Mm. Because we tend to see that those individuals, once they are done with their studies, they don't necessarily have any collateral to back a loan, which would be required from a traditional source of finance, such as a bank loan or whatever.
Mm.
So the idea is for us then to set aside some capital to then assist these individuals. So number one, we will then instill, again, you know, always back to education as the basic.
As the foundation.
You know, how to run your business, that sort of thing, but also the working capital to sustain them for up to 24, 36 months to get them through the cracks and not just allow them to do bootstrapping, right? Mm. So bootstrapping is where you allow an individual to run and start their business entirely on their own savings. We know it's not possible in this country. And so we've identified that as a gap, as an extension and value addition enhancement, really, that we'd like to add onto our existing program.
And also on that specific, it's actually a good thing that you bring up the bootstrapping, which also pegs back to, as you know, the entrepreneurial development that we've been highlighting through the episode. I don't know, Gavin, I've had so many ideas, but then you see the reality on the picture and you go like, how do I get this done?
Yes.
And so many people sit with those ideas, they sit with those dreams. Can we look at it as almost like the dream ideation or the dream materialization mechanism that the foundation plays in that regard?
Correct.
Not that we're saying that's anything like, you know, bring your dream and then we'll see it materialize, but it does have that impact.
100%.
Yeah.
To bring that to fruition. And, you know, if we can really simplify that, I always say the ultimate sophistication is in simplicity.
Mm.
It's to give you that hope, to feel that you're heard.
Yeah.
And we're really playing at the grassroots level, like I said, with all of these initiatives to bring about that flounder of hope and then hopefully, you know, get that individual to take that idea, to run with it and to make it a reality.
And ultimately, it's also about the further value addition into the rest of society.
Correct.
It's not just the economy, because society runs, no, economy runs from a society.
Yeah.
We've got to understand it. But dear listeners, this ultimately gets us to the end of this evening's discussion. Gavin, I forgot to ask if there's still something you wish to add before we close off on this evening's episode. You still have the opportunity of doing so. Just like some particular details that people maybe like want to read on further, or certain particular resources, probably.
Yes. So we've got our own website. You can find all the details that we've been speaking to tonight on www.agof, which is really short for the Alan Gray Opus Foundation, -EBN. EBN standing for Eswatini, Botswana, Namibia, .org. And so there you will find information about our programs, our governance structure, and our future plans. And I welcome all of the listeners to please have a look and be on the lookout in the media as well for some press releases that will be coming out soon, some results of our programs and pride that we take in the value that we give back to society.
And on that particular note, dear listeners, well, this has been the Alan Gray program. Well, I can't say the Alan Gray program because it's the business and economic segment in partnership with Alan Gray. But the discussion about the Alan Gray Orbis Foundation, obviously this has been the second, this part two of the sixth episode. On that note, stay tuned for the next program to come after the break. We'll see each other again, same time, same place tomorrow for the regular programming. But this will also be the same time, same place next week for your Wednesday programming. Stay tuned, and we're back right after the break.
This program was proudly brought to you by Alan Gray, building long-term wealth for our clients since 1973.